in Lubbock.
Wow.
Because Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. This is the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and that can only mean one thing. We're talking softball again, so of course we brought on the illustrious, the finally healthy, Miss Girl Power herself, Kinzie. Welcome back to the land of the living. Give the people a little something.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to give them, but I am sort of healthy. We talked pre-pod about how what condition I'm in today. I don't know why I just can't show up to a pod like primed and ready to go. I'm always
listen, everybody. Kinzie is her own level of awesome. Coming from illness to illness, she was like, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm finally healthy. I'm going to go out in the town, goes to a concert, gets kicked out. And now here she is, like a true Red Raider, hungover, ready to talk sports. I mean, that doesn't, it's awesome. That's the best way to be, Kinzie. I mean, I think you're the...
That's how you make your alma mater proud.
Yeah.
You get sick, yeah, you rally, if you're doing anything you less, you're not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So take notes, future Red Raider alumni. Kinzie is doing it right. I am doing it wrong. So we are talking Texas Tech softball. And yikes. Number one, Oklahoma, now 36-0. 6-0 in conference. If that isn't, if you didn't watch this weekend, that should be your identifier. Completed the series sweep against Texas Tech with a 21-0 win in a game in game three Sunday afternoon at Rocky Johnson. Red Raiders gave up 21 runs on 19 hits. That's 7 home runs to add to the already topped ranked offense in the country. And guess what? That's 7 home runs is tied for most in program history that we have given up. So a record in the worst way, right? Kinzie, what did you think about this series with Oklahoma?
I mean, this was not a series that I expected to get a win in. I was hoping maybe, you know, we could just keep it to like 5-0, 6-0, hang around, not get killed. But I mean, this was the perfect storm in the worst way for this team, because with Texas Tech being dead last in the conference in batting average, and like you said, Oklahoma being, I mean, first in everything right now, not only in the conference, but nationally, it was a bad meeting, but guess what? It's behind us. It's over.
God, you ain't lying. You are not lying. This is why people, I don't do podcasts on my own, because I can make anything sound good. That's my thing. I'm the people's champ. I'm here to boost you up. I'm your champion, baby. But I need a little reality. I need a little bit of that MSG on top of my optimism, because I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe we can give Oklahoma a scare. No, we didn't give Oklahoma a scare at all. And then I made the audacious claim, maybe we can actually sneak one out and get a win and break that and just do a very 2011 upset over Oklahoma, just because that's what Texas Tech does. No, Oklahoma had Tech using five pitchers alone in the third game. Rancy Willis, Morgan Hornback, Matty Cool, Olivia Raines, Erna Carlin. I'm so sorry that I gave anybody an ounce of hope against this Oklahoma team. Coach Ward, I'm sorry. Friend of the pod, I'm sorry that I still believe in you, but man, that is tough. I mean, one gleaming fleck of gold, I think, in an otherwise massive pile of mulch, and that's the PG version. Carlin did strike out Tara Jennings twice this series, and that makes her the only pitcher this season to do so. That's crazy. So coming into this game, Jennings was ranked 32nd in the country as quote toughest to strike out. She had 4 strikeouts at 88 or in 88 bats. So the best thing I think we can from this game, the best thing as Texas Tech fans we can hope for is that Jennings is losing sleep over that. But it really wasn't just defensive woes for Texas Tech, was it, Kinzie? What were we just severely lacking? And you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier.
I mean, the problem with this team is that they feel a lot like the women's basketball team, and that they're young and there's not a lot of offensive power. And now I was really excited about Kendall Fritz in the beginning, but the pitching staff has just been like so bad. And I mean, this team's young. I mean, they're very young. There's only like 3-ish seniors on this team. I don't know what the over under on that is, but it's probably the over, but it's young. It's a young team, and the pitching staff is incredibly young. So this is just going to have to be like a lick your wounds type of year. And
yeah, you escape with barely your pride, right?
yeah, I mean, they've gotten a lot of good experience this year. If you can say one thing, they've played a ton of great teams. They've competed well with some of those teams. And that's something that they can kind of put in their pocket and take into next year.
I think that's something that, and when we posted the first episode on Red Raider Sports, man, there was a lot of interaction with that post. A lot of opinions, a lot of arguments for and against the leadership of this softball team. And this Oklahoma game certainly does nothing to support any pro Texas Tech, pro Coach Ward talk. But you're right. This is one of those games you just got to let it go. This was the Oklahoma State football game earlier, you know, in the fall. Like, you're playing one of the storied defenses of college football. You get over it. You're still a good team, but they exploited you in the ways that you didn't want them to, and they had their way. It's what makes good teams great. And this Oklahoma softball team is way better than that Oklahoma State football team. I mean, they do not know how to lose, it looks like. We'll see when that winning streak ends, if ever. If they hit 1,000-0, I'm going to get a big OU tattoo on my back. You watch.
Oh, gosh.
So Tech was held without a hit in the third. There was not one hit, not even a dink. That's not true. But not one hit. And that is really the theme across this series. And it's been a big theme in this season. And so against Oklahoma, you get two hits in the first game. No runs. You get one hit in the second game, no runs. Zero hits in the third game. Obviously, what? No runs. Give me a track for that, Dylan. You had Abby Orrick in the first game, Carson Armijo in the second. There's two hits in the first game, excuse me, Abby Orrick and Carson Armijo. And then Molly Grumbo, which is, that's an amazing name, gets that solo hit in the second game. But it really amounts to nothing. And tremendous pitching by Oklahoma, but also problematic. And here's the thing for me is that this is the first time this team was shut out back to back at home this season. Like, when they've lost a game at home this season, they've rallied and had good at bats the second game. This game, not a chance. No. I'm not asking for a win. I'm asking for good hits. No, not good hits. Oklahoma's tremendous pitching. So we were averaging a little over 5 runs at home this season. We've trimmed it down quite a bit. Oklahoma's just good, man. And you really wanted to see something magical happen, but you're lying to yourself like I did if you thought Tech was going to pull out a win. So the dust is settled. Kinsey, I know last week we didn't get to have you on. What do you think about this? Where are you at with this team? People have heard my opinions. So let them know a little bit about where you're at with this team. I mean, really, as you look at this team in the grand scheme of when Coach Gregory left and we've got Coach Ward replacing her, where we're at now, like, how are you feeling? How does this series affect your opinion, or does it?
I mean, I don't think this series really affects my opinion. I mean, I think Oklahoma is just a freak show of a team. They're so talented. They're so good. Like you said, they could just literally run straight onto a national title and not lose a game. So I'm not going to lose sleep over this series. I think this team is already a little bit ahead of where they were last year. Like I said, they're still pretty young. I mean, they only won 21 games last year, and right now they're at 19. So with kind of the worst of the conference schedule behind you, sans Texas, I think there's room to grow a little bit. I think there's room to maybe they're definitely going to get past the 21 games, but you can continue to grow on that. And I mean, the conference is kind of wide open. I mean, it's not obviously not the top of the conference. I mean, this is Oklahoma's conference, but like in the women's basketball this past year, like 4 through 7, it's just wide open. And this is a team that could finish in fourth if they get it going. So I think, like I said, they're young. There's going to be a learning curve, but there's a chance to do something positive this year.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you're not like Kenzie, and if you're absolutely mad, and you just want to ruminate, you just want to sit and ruminate, what better place to ruminate than the Wild? You can go to Broken Bow, Oklahoma. I mentioned it last podcast, which is nothing like Oklahoma as you're thinking of it, and really get some quality time alone or with friends and family with Treeline Rentals. This is Premier Line. The premier line of Broken Bow rentals owned by one of our very own in the Texas Tech family, Craig Crawford. And because we are one big happy family here, win or lose, Craig wants to hook you up with 25% off your booking with no additional fees. I mean, we are double T wearing folks here, made sturdy by the West Texas wind. No matter where we go, we got that West Texas tough, right? And we don't want any of the additional fee nonsense. Don't hit us with that. We're more grassroots people. So if you aren't, but if you aren't cabin people, Treeline also builds, they sell, they manage investment properties all over Broken Bow. Seriously, the guy does everything. So if you're interested in getting away for a period of time at top of the line cabins, or you want to expand your property portfolio, check out Treeline Rentals and be sure to send Craig an email ahead of time, craig@vacationtreeline.com. That's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at vacationtreeline.com. And let them know Tortillas and Takes sent you. Onward and upward, Kinsey. Onward and upward. That has got to be the theme here. We have got to keep calm and carry on. That is the Texas Tech way. Because losses, they're done and gone. We don't have the pride built up yet to hang on to stuff like that. So the only balance that makes sense after playing the best team in the conference is by playing the worst team in the conference, right? Texas Tech travels to Ames tonight if we get it out on Thursday. Yesterday, if this somehow comes out on Friday, to take on Iowa State, who I say worst team in the conference. They have the worst conference record at 1-5, but we're 2-7, so do with that what you will. But Iowa State has had a pretty similar season to Tech, generally taking care of teams they need to take care of and having really close losses to top 10 teams like UCLA and Washington, teams that we're familiar with. And they've also played really tough teams in the conference early. They were swept by Texas, and they stole one. They got a really big win against number 6, Oklahoma State, in their series, dropping the last two. Kinsey, what are your thoughts on Iowa State this season and really this matchup in particular?
I think they're a little bit less battle-tested than we are. So I think if you put us head-to-head, I'd like to think Texas Tech would be the more prepared team in this series. And I mean, I think we can feel like we're in a little bit of a good spot with Iowa State losing 9 of its last 10. I mean, they obviously did get that win over number 6 Oklahoma State, but the good news is that Tech is 18-11 all time in Ames and have won 9 of the last 12. So if you like to lean on history, this feels like a good weekend for this team to show up and get back on track. And these are important games. If you want to finish in 4th or 5th, you have to win these games. You have to take care of the bottom of the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned 9 of 12 games. I did not realize this, and still, we have not played in Ames since 2019. You realize that? That's crazy. We had, of course, the pandemic in 2020, and then 2021 is in Lubbock. I mean, good grief. It's been years since we've been up there. But you're right. We do have a nice winning record in Ames, really dominating the Cyclones, 9 of the last 12. That is what I'm talking about. So hopefully some momentum there. But I think this is a really good game for Texas Tech to get personal with, because that last year you do have Iowa State come into Lubbock and win the series, taking 2 of 3. And you might be onto something that Iowa State's not necessarily as battle-tested as Tech. And so them playing... although they did have a really good game in against Oklahoma State in that the first of the series, but at the same time they really kind of capitulated in the other two. So some players on the Cyclones I think listeners need to be aware of certainly are Carly Spellog, which I'm probably saying that wrong. I'm not Midwesterner. Angelina Allen, Michaela Ramos. I mean, between the three of them, they brought in over 80 runs this season for Iowa State. And really, like, when they get going is when the Cyclones are hard to beat. And you're probably going to see a lot of Carly's sister, which I think it's her sister. Not sure that last name goes around very often, but it's Ellie Spellog. I'll be honest, if I saw somebody with my last name, we're obviously a relation. But you'll see a lot of Ellie on the mound for the Cyclones because, man, she has been a tremendous pitcher for them down the stretch. Otherwise, it'll be Carly Charles, two pitchers that have really kind of stepped up for them lately. Maybe not in the stat sheet, but certainly with a lot of game time or what am I trying to say here? A lot of big moments that needed them to, pull a couple strikeouts and they've done so. And so I think Iowa State's getting a lot of momentum behind these two pitchers. Are there any other Are there really any other Cyclone players that I'm leaving out?
I mean, I think Mikayla Ramos is kind of a deep threat. She's 21st in the country in home runs, which is definitely nothing to scoff at. And yeah, like we said, our pitching staff is a little bit fragile. So she's somebody I could see kind of making an impact on this series. So I think it's going to be important that the bats are hot for Texas Tech to protect these pitchers.
Okay, so you don't think we're going to get out of Ames blanking Iowa State? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think we're going to be blanking them, but this team tends to just love shootouts. They love to play in shootouts. So this is a series that they could take care of business, even if the pitching staff does get shelled.
Although you did say that we are last in the conference right now, batting average, yeah?
Yeah, we that are. Sucks. We are dead last.
That sucks. But it's possible. Like you said, I mean, history is important in sports. We all get that. And Texas Tech has just seemed to have Iowa State's number. And let's just really hope that that pans out, you know, in this series in Ames. I think that that would do this team a lot of good. Like you said, I mean, we are two games away from tying last season's win total with plenty more, you know, plenty of games left on the schedule. I think that could be a really big momentum booster for this team going forward, especially into the offseason. You know, feeling like you've, you know, feeling like you've made some. It's just tough when you have a whole year and you end up in the same place you were before. Like, as an athlete, that's probably one of the worst things, is that all this work you feel like you've put in amounted to nothing. And so this is a really great game. Ladies, I know y'all are listening. Like, this is a great game for you to go out and do it. And if you sweep the Clones, then you're already a step ahead. You are one step ahead. So like they say, you know, on Ted Lasso, you just got to believe. Just got to believe and go out there and do it. I don't care. You got the last. Yeah, you got the lowest batting average. Go out there and believe. You know what I'm saying? But that is really, I mean, that is really it for softball right now. Big series this weekend. One that you feel comfortable that you can take. And maybe if you can get that sweep, that would be all the sweeter. But housekeeping. Oh, March Madness is over, people. It's done. Our contest is over. We have winners. Number one, grand prize winner has claimed his lot. But we are looking for number two and number three. There is a Google Home without a home. That just doesn't make sense. There is a Red Raider, 1 year of Red Raider subscription for free going unused. You are missing out on the community of a lifetime. There's insider information. There's fake insider information. We talk politics. We talk wombat poop. We talk everything, and you're missing out. So if you came in second or third place in our March Madness bracket, please reach out to Tortees and Takes, add us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, let us know, show us your bracket, and we'll be sending you either a Google Home with a very passively aggressive written note about how long you took, or we will, you know, you have that 1 year free subscription to Red Raider Sports that will turn into a lifetime of community. Kenzie, do you have anything else to add here?
I will say my last and final thought on this Iowa State series. I think this is a good chance for Kendall Fritz to kind of go out there, reset, just kind of shake off the really mucky go she's had at it in conference play. She's going to get two chances, I think. It's going to be like the Kansas series. I think she's going to get two starts. And I think the most important thing for her is to just come out strong and don't get chased early. That's her biggest issue, and that's how we get into these shootouts. So she can come out strong, keep it under control for three or four innings. I think there's a good chance we can sweep this series. I'm not going to guarantee it. I'm not going to make any bold claims, but I think this is a good chance for Kendall Fritz to get it right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree. I think Fritz is just, she has probably one of the highest ceilings on this team, and we just have not seen a lot of it this season, so it'd be really good for her to step into that. It really good for the team. And so I think Kinsey and I are solidly saying that Texas Tech takes this series 2-3.
I like that. I like that prediction.
We like that prediction. We think 2-3. We think we're going to match up the last season's total win record, and we're going to move on to the next series with some gusto. Guys, if you have not had a chance, go on to Apple, review this podcast. We are dealing with reviews. a series of troll reviews from decades ago. And it bunks our numbers, and we just want to, you know, illustrate and reflect like positive content that we're bringing you guys, and you know, the effort and all that we put into it. So leave us a review if you like us. If you don't, be critical, but leave us an honest review. That way we know how we can make this podcast better. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at tortillas_RRS. That is because we are the official podcast for the Red Raider Sports website, which is an amazing place to be. And we are not going anywhere. We are part of this, still a part of the 1012 Network, which is a great home for Big 12 news. For Ms. Girl Power herself, Kinsey Garcia, for myself, Jeremy Gillen, this has been the Tortillas and Takes podcast. Stay wrecked, people.